Let's talk about home values. Lots to get. I mean, it just feels like it's changing a mile a minute. So hard to keep track of what's going on here, Dennis Rodkin. And I know you cover residential real estate for Cranes and do a heck of a job at it. I saw your recent article about homes are selling fast everywhere. Guess where they're selling the fastest? Kind of interesting. And I want to dig into that. But just generally, Dennis, it just seems like a kind of a wild place to be covering right now with all the different things that have been going on over the last year.
It is, Anna, and I appreciate you saying that. I can barely keep up. Our market has speeded up so much that it is really hard to believe. Homes selling quickly, selling for more than the asking price. We've seen record price sales in a lot of western suburbs where we just weren't seeing that kind of activity before. It really is remarkable. There was a house in River North that sold for $6.7 million in less than 2 weeks. Usually, those very high-end homes take a long time on the market. Or I shouldn't say usually. Prior to the current market, they would take forever to sell. This one jumped off the market very quickly. It is really hard to believe. At every turn, every piece of data shows acceleration.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's hard to predict anything other than buying homes right now is hot and people are able to sell very quickly. Multiple offers isn't something we've seen. A lot of us were remarking on that story out of Redfin last couple of days. 2/3 of home buyers in 2020 made an offer on a home, mind you, sight unseen, never saw it. And I'm just like, has that been happening in the Chicago area? Is that real?
It has, but it's small. I think a lot of those are investor buyers or you're buying a second home. And so we're not seeing it quite as much here, but we do see it. I've had a couple of real estate agents tell me they've had people coming from those real crowded markets like San Francisco, real expensive markets, and they say, get me something in my price range in this neighborhood. And they'll snap it up partly because they know they'll be able to resell it if they're unsatisfied.
Oh, that's a good point. You could do that. I get what you're saying. Okay, so let's get to the story that you dug into, where homes are selling the fastest in our area. What'd you find, Dennis?
So for context, in the city of Chicago in the first quarter of the year, homes sold in an average of 91 days. So you keep that number in your head when I tell you that in West Lawn, a neighborhood in Chicago, homes sold in that same time in an average of 36 days. Approximately 1/3 the time. And 91 is fast. 91 for the city of Chicago, that's about 15% faster than they were selling in the first quarter of 2020.
So
and
Dennis,
one thing to keep in mind is...
I'm just wondering, is that an average for all the homes in West Lawn? That's an average, 36 days.
Yeah. It's an average for all the homes in West Lawn, and it doesn't count those that never even went on the market because they sold from friend to friend, from neighbor to neighbor. And some of they're selling really fast. I talked to a few agents who said, really? 36 days? That seems very slow because I had one go in 5 days. I had one go in 10 days. And one of the things I want to point out about this data is we're looking at the first quarter of 2021 compared to the first quarter of 2020. That is really before the pandemic set in. So we're making an apples-to-apples comparison. We're not comparing healthy 2021 to the difficult part of 2020. It's actually before things went south.
Yeah, that makes sense to do it that way. What else? So you got West Lawn at the top of the list, selling the fastest. What else is on the list?
And that was 36 days. Joliet was 37, selling in an average of 38 days with Glendale Heights. Again, these are all the first quarter of 2021. In Ashburn and Clearing, and both in the city and Evergreen Park outside the city, sales in an average of 39 days. These are numbers that are really unheard of. Usually, there's a house that sells in 39 days. Now we're talking about the average of all homes sold in the neighborhood or the suburb, in the case of Joliet or Glendale Heights. They're flying. And again, this is really only those that actually go on the market, throughout the market, not just in these neighborhoods. We're seeing large numbers of homes that essentially don't go on the market. They're sold in a private listing network. They're sold, as I said, friend to friend, neighbor to neighbor. And this is one of the problems homebuyers have. This is one of the things that speeds up those homes that are on the market, is that there's so much that doesn't come on the market. My pickings, if I'm a buyer, are fewer, and I need to jump which is why these houses sell so fast.
And then, so you, if you see in multiple offers, which you, what you're talking about is happening, and that things are selling so quickly, not only do you not have time, but you have to be the most attractive buyer. It's and what is the most attractive buyer? Do I have to show up with my triple chocolate brownies and like serve them? Do I give them little special gifts, or is it really is that part of it?
I think that every buyer in Chicago should show up with triple chocolate brownies. Well, you need to have no contingencies on your offer. You need to put in a contract that does not have a contingency for selling your past home, or a contingency for getting a mortgage. You need to be pre-approved. You need to have your previous home either sold or nailed down. I don't have to buy. I don't have to have a contingency because we're going to rent this one out, or we've already sold it, or whatever it is. Some of the most attractive buyers are former renters because they don't have a, there's no reason they would have a contingency on their past address. And the other thing is to be sure that you actually can afford to get into that bidding war. What a lot of agents are telling me is because there are bidding wars and so many homes are selling over their asking price, you should be shopping at under that asking price. If you're approved, let's just say for $150,000, you should be shooting, you should be shopping at 140 because you're likely to bid up toward 150. Same would be true at 1.5 million or any other figure. That's just the number I tossed out. You should be shopping below what you can afford because you're likely to get up to that limit of what you can afford.
Help me understand something, Dennis, because you cover this and do a great job at it. I follow all your stuff, and it really is so informative.
Oh, thank you.
I over the years, really find it such a resource. One of the reasons that I love my subscription to Cranes because you guys cover real estate so well. But I think I'll tell you something. I just don't understand why is there such demand? Are there new people entering the home buying market? Is there just this flood of millennials who are first-time buyers? I just don't understand how the homes are in this much demand at this point in time.
Well, it's both a function of supply and demand. There is a lot of demand because it is so cheap to buy a house now because interest rates are so very low that even if I am a homeowner and I wasn't planning to buy, it looks so cheap for me to make my next step. And we need more bedrooms because we have kids schooling at home or whatever it is, or this would really be prior to things starting to reopen. But also, I can afford to make my move much more easily than I could over the course of the past many years because interest rates have been hovering at 3% or below for quite a while, and they had been in the 4 and 5% range in previous years. The other thing is, because it's so cheap to buy, a lot of renters are converting to homeowners, because it's cheaper to buy at that rate than to rent, and I've wanted to be a homeowner anyway. Now's my chance. It also is my time because prices are rising so fast, I'd better do it now because what I can afford today will be much more expensive in a few months or a year from now. So a lot of people are thinking, use those interest rates to get in now before prices really run out of my grasp. And then add to that the idea that I may need more space. I may need a backyard. I only had a balcony and the parks were closed. Or I may need a classroom for kids or two offices for a married couple. So we're looking for more space. Many people are also looking for more space. All of those have combined to fuel this demand.
Yeah, and I'm hearing that this housing boom, you hear from economists and the folks who really study this closely, that this is different than sort of the one that ended in a bust, that they expect that this one, people are not buying, you know, these mortgage securities, these really bad instruments, and they're not trading them around. And it isn't sort of that sort of boom bust scenario that they're predicting. They say that this one is much more stable. That must be what you're hearing, too, is in our area, that this feels a bit different.
Yeah, it's certainly what we hope. And part of that is because predatory lending has been, because of all the mistakes of 2005-06, predatory lending has been dialed back. New credit standards and everything else have been laid in to try to avoid what happened that time, which means that even if I, as a buyer, am sort of rabidly thinking I'm just going to bid up and up and up, there are ceilings put on what I might do. Appraisals will not go through. You know, if I want to pay $150,000 for this house, but the appraiser says it's only worth $120,000, the bank's not going to lend me the money. And at the same time, we seem to be going in, we seem to be bidding up on houses and spending more as the economy is rising. There is no, it doesn't appear that there's another downturn on the horizon, right? We think that things will continue growing. So even if I have overpaid some for my house right now, all it really means is that I'll have to hold on to it longer before I it repays itself. I don't expect it to drop in value and force me underwater, force me to a point where I owe more than the house is worth, because we're buying in a rising economy, which, of course, we were doing during some of the boom years, but then, or during the boom years, but then things dropped so hard that everybody was in trouble. We don't see a drop like that coming, which is not to say that one won't come, but we don't see a big drop like that. It looks like we're buying into a rising market, and it will continue. It maybe not at the pace it's been rising, maybe not as steeply, maybe a more shallow increase, but at least I don't have to expect that my home value will crash.
Yeah, I hear you. And that's an important thing to point out here, as it gets, feels like a little strange with all the craziness in the housing market. Hey, Dennis, I do want to ask you about Chicago. Your article basically looked at Westlawn, Joliet, Glendale Heights, Ashburn, Clearing, Evergreen Park, McKinley Park, Bolingbrook, Round Lake area, Oaklawn, and Streamwood. Those were the top areas in terms of what's moving the fastest. What's going on in the city? I know you said it's the, sort of a 90 day, so it's taking, it's a little less, it's a little more time to move. Right. But generally, what are the trends you're seeing in the city limits?
Well, we have sort of two city markets going on right now. We have downtown and everything else. Everything else has speeded up. If you get outside the loop, the area where the loop has been very hard hit, and the immediate adjacent neighborhoods, by the two crises of 2020. One was nobody was coming into work anymore downtown, and the other was, and the cultural events and everything else downtown stopped. And the other was the sort of spasms of looting. And both of those things sort of created, kind of gave a black eye to those neighborhoods. So I'm a well-heeled person in the suburbs planning to downsize and move to, I'm empty nester, making a move downtown. I just slammed the brakes on that. All my friends may already have moved down there, but last year I slammed the brakes on. I either stayed in my suburban location or bought in Michigan, Aspen, Colorado, whatever it was. So demand downtown really crashed. We had an enormous oversupply of homes it's for sale in those neighborhoods. It started to burn off. We're starting to see a turn, and we may see an even steeper turn when reopening really accelerates. Then the rest of the city, sales have speeded up. Prices are going up. Lots of over the asking price sales, lots of bidding wars. So it's really been sort of, we've been operating on two tracks. Mm-hmm. One is downtown and one is everybody else.
What a wealth of information, Dennis. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate your time, and it's awesome stuff. Check out Cranes if you want to see all of your in-depth reporting on the residential real estate market. Not a boring day in your world, Dennis.
No, it's not at all. Thanks.